Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Easter Monday. For the next 8 days, remember we have 50 days of celebration up to Pentecost, but this first week is Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. Get into the habit of saying that. This is not just any old Monday. This is Easter Monday. Let's take a look here at the fruit of the power of the resurrection, the fruit that began to be manifested in the lives of the disciples. You have a combination this week. You have a combination of the actual resurrection and the bewilderment and the confusion and the joy and the just stunned reaction of the different apostles and disciples as to what happened to Jesus. They're just trying to grasp it. So you get some of the readings that deal with that, other readings that deal with what happened to the disciples as a result of the power of the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, how they responded, how they were overjoyed. They were able to do things they never had done. Peter gets up and preaches in today's reading. Peter was an uneducated fisherman, a man who denied Jesus. He repented, deeply repented, and look what it did to him. Because sometimes, you know, when we actually do deny Christ by our sin, we become even more faithful because we're willing to humble ourselves and to say, I did it, it's my fault, please forgive me, and to know the mercy of God. And when you walk in the mercy of God, you're humble. You're not walking in arrogance because you think you have all the answers. You're walking in humility because you know that the power that is given you comes from God and not from yourself, and that he had mercy on you. You can't give yourself that kind of mercy. It has to come from God. So when we humble ourselves and we acknowledge our weakness, God can use us mightily. It's very different. The world, you've got to present all your best credentials and live out of them totally, completely, and then maybe the world will recognize you. But with the gospel, the key is forgiveness, the willingness to ask to be forgiven. And the gift is God's mercy. It's a very different way of life. Don't pattern yourself on the world. Pattern yourself on the gospel. The first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 14, and then 22 to 33. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to my words. You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed.' Therefore, my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the nether world, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Listen to this. Poor uneducated Peter. Look at him. "My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, as you both see and hear." Peter couldn't be quiet. He could have been arrested. He couldn't be quiet. He had to proclaim what God had done for him. And he could do it in his humility because he knew that God had forgiven him. Keep me safe, O God. Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. You're my hope. That's what God wants us to know, that we can put all our hope in him and that we will not be disappointed. We can put our hope in him for forgiveness. We can put our hope in him for reconciliation. We can put our hope in him to begin again. Brothers and sisters, open your heart to the power of the resurrection. It's right in your midst. Keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. And the gospel for this Easter Monday is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 to 15. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." There they will see me. You imagine? Can you imagine? People are confused, bewildered. Some of them are hiding. They're afraid. They don't know what has happened. They saw him die, and now his body's gone, and the soldiers must have taken him. There must be a plot, which there was. But Jesus had risen from the dead, and they're trying to get this word. What? We saw him crucified. He's dead. And they said, "No, he is alive. He is alive. So-and-so has seen him, and so-and-so has seen him." Can you imagine? Can you imagine the excitement and the fear, the desire to believe, and the great sorrow that still is reigning over them, causing them such confusion of emotions? While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. So the chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. "Tell them, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you really believe? Then what we want to do is to be able to stand in that truth. He is risen. He is not dead. We're going to hear so much more the stories of the people as they meet Jesus, or they encounter those who have met Jesus. This is also the week when we're going to hear that wonderful story from Luke chapter 24. It's a passage, we'll hear it on Wednesday, and it's a passage I want to go back to again and again and again. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They're just getting out of town. They're so distraught. And they heard rumors, but, you know, they don't think that's true, and they don't want to believe. So they're going, in a sense, back to what's familiar to them. They're leaving Jerusalem. We have in the gospel all kinds of reactions. I often want to think about, what was it like for Mary? What was it like for her when she saw, she was right there, right present, right there, as he suffered so terribly? She was right there. I often wonder who brought her the news. Did she know in her heart somehow? Had she kept faith? Yet she had gone through the trauma as a human being of seeing her son crucified. There's nothing worse than that that you could imagine. Nothing. I think about them all, what it must have been like, what it must have cost them in those days as they waited, passing the word along, hoping against hope. Many, according to our personalities, you know, some people say, "Oh, It can't possibly be true. We saw him die. It's over. It's done with. We just have to, we believe for a while, but obviously it was false. You know, you have the doom and gloom people. And then you have some who are saying, he is risen, he is risen. And others are saying, shh, be quiet. It might not be true. We haven't seen him. We don't know. And then you have those people that are just quietly praying, quietly turning to God, quietly going over in their minds the words that he told them. He said he would be raised on the third day. So they wonder. Brothers and sisters, I take time to mention all of this because I want you to see that this was a very, very human time. All times are very human. But our humanity comes out here in so many ways with the different disciples, with the apostles, with the followers, the friends of Jesus. How we deal with this kind of startling announcement or fear is so different according to each of us. Our personalities, we just deal with grief, we deal with anger, we deal with shock, we deal with the horrendous image of the crucifixion, we're traumatized. How do we deal with the fact that Jesus was telling us the truth, that on the third day he would rise? Brothers and sisters, God wants to rise in your heart during this Easter season. God wants faith in him to be strengthened in your heart and your mind and your spirit. That Jesus is who he says he is, the beloved Son of the Father. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Really. If this is the time when you've allowed doubt to rule, reject it. Choose to believe. You will begin a journey like no other for your life, really. And you will draw closer and closer to him because as you put your faith in him, he draws closer and closer to you because you give him access. Jesus wants to reign in your heart and your life. And in all these days of the Easter celebration, all 50 days, God wants to use you to bring the hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life to many other people. So in these days, spend time with him and say to the Lord, use me. Use me that your name may be glorified. Allow the fruits of the resurrection to begin to grow and be strengthened in my life, that I might be a messenger of eternal life, that I might be a messenger of the eternal salvation that you won for me, you won for us upon the cross. Lord Jesus, I am your disciple. I desire to follow you. Let the graces of the resurrection penetrate my own life. May God bless you all. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.